In this episode of What the Prophets Say, Sam, Louise and I have a longer, fun-filled conversation, but deeply provocative conversation about the heresy that you and I believe, the teaching of demons and the joy of the kingdom of God. Join us for this rip-roaring episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. I'm joined by the double act. Shall we call you that? That is Sam Robertson and Louise Reed. Yes. We're in the studios in the north of Glasgow once again.
Yes.
Twins?
Not quite.
Separated at birth.
30 years apart. 20.
Oh!
You fixed that
10
quick.
Years apart.
I don't know how many years apart you
know,
are.
Yeah.
Are we prepared to say how many?
No, we won't. Let's move on. Revelation 20.
We're moving to Revelation 21. That was a fast turn of the corner.
Good.
Age is but a number.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Are you well, guys?
Brilliant.
Yes,
very well.
I'm loving just how many notebooks and things we've got. You can tell we like all our notebooks
and pens
and everything. We have covered the table. So that is just an insight into the fact that we're going to have a really good conversation.
Yes.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about things that we have learnt from demons. And
do you want to brainstorm a list?
Sure.
Where will we begin?
I kind of laugh awkwardly that is a scriptural concept. That we can be taught by demons.
Yeah. It's a bit shocking.
It is shocking.
Because we don't like to think that we've ever been taught by a demon.
And I do think we could curate a list.
I think we could.
Of how many things demons have taught us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Certainly the whole women issue is a thing taught us by demons.
Yeah, there we go.
Or the fact that prophecy ended at the end of scripture.
Yes,
and that nonsense.
Yeah.
Cessationism is a demonic.
Taught by demons.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, anything else you want to populate the list with now that we're on it? The patriarchy, the end of spiritual gifts.
I think anything that takes us away from fullness and momentum. I mean, very generally, anything that puts us in the wrong direction or puts us into a bunker or a doldrum in our heads and in our hearts is being taught to us by demons.
And I think we're so like prim and proper about, I only believe truth. You know, that, and I am in my social media bubble silo.
Yeah.
I only let people speak truth to me.
Everyone agrees with me.
Yes. Then that verse intercepts. You want to find it for us, Sam, so that we've got complete biblical address for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are really like offended that now surely it is them over there. It cannot be me. And then, of course, if I say, well, then the things taught by demons must be heresy. In other words, you and I must have heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredibly offensive. You know, no. I'm a heresy hunter. I'm not a believer of heresy. I don't perpetuate heresy, you know, on my platforms, my life, my heart, you know. So I think we just have to have a little bit of moment of honesty. You probably believe something that was taught to you by a demon.
Absolutely. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. That's 1 Timothy 4, verse 1.
Yes. And the concept of abandoning the faith, you and I be like, nope. But I think you can believe so many things taught by demons that actually you have a version of Christianity that
isn't the real thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the Amplified talks about seductive doctrines of demons, how there's that sense of you can be, you know, seduced slowly into believing a teaching by a demon, a teaching that is opposite to the kingdom of God. Even gradually, I think, it's there. And look, we could all probably list our lives and look back and go, actually, I was very wrong about that. And God convicted.
Absolutely.
And I learned, and there was a light moment where I read scripture or someone taught something and the truth light bulb went off and I realized that I was believing something false.
I think once you can say, where have I been taught by a demon?
Yeah.
Or I probably have been taught by a demon. Or where is my heresy? I know it's, you'll kind of give a wry smile and maybe a shrug of the shoulders, but I actually think it's an incredibly liberating place where you don't have to say, well, I'm perfection, my beliefs are perfection.
Yeah, and you're brave enough to have the conversation with yourself and with God, and actually to be able to go, everything I believe isn't probably 100% truth. Mm-hmm. So help me, Holy Spirit. You know, your teacher, yes. You know, I submit myself to truth. I submit myself to scripture. I submit myself to you, Holy Spirit. Just assess my thinking and my beliefs.
Yeah. Yes. And as you said, it is very liberating to understand that we're not just taught by the Holy Spirit, that actually demons are looking to teach us, inform us. But once we know that, that's incredibly liberating, because then when we're thinking about something, we ask the questions. Yep. We say, Lord, is that you? Holy Spirit, is this inspired by you, or is it inspired from somewhere else? And you know, then truth will come to us and we will be guided into all truth. But we have to be rigorous about it.
I mean, what slightly breaks my heart, although we do kind of laugh about it as a family of five around dinner tables, but it is heartbreaking. You have to kind of smile, otherwise you would just never stop weeping, is on my social medias, we get some very rude comments about women, about prophecy, about whatever it happens to be that we're on that particular day. And some of it, I think it's good to be sharpened by. Some of it is very good to have to reflect on yourselves. But some of it is very obvious, just very entry-level biblical illiteracy. And David and I don't think we're the bastions or the standards of truth at all. That's not what I'm saying in that. But I do kind of think, come on, guys, we've got to be much better at being in the scriptures together. Does it really say that? Is that because the only thing that's inerrant is the word of God? So, you know, I'm kind of surprised that we don't give ourselves to scripture more when it is the source of inerrancy. It's not wrong. It's true. It's right. And our discussion of, well, how would I interpret and how would I deal with that? Mm. And we so believe what is handed down to us. Now, not all of us have the mental academic capability to be scholars, but flip, if you're not even a great reader and you're dyslexic, get an audio Bible.
There are many options.
And we do need to remember that the enemy can quote scripture very well.
Yes.
In fact, he knows
to back up his teaching.
And he knows the scriptures better than probably we do, but not by the Spirit.
Yes.
But he's quite capable of, and that's why when people quote scriptures to me, you need to test the Spirit that it's coming with. So these are challenging thoughts, but we've got to get more robust.
Yeah.
So something that I was dealing with on a Sunday in Power Church that we have given ourselves the job to, and I mean, if you've heard us on this and you listen to Power Church, this is a good recap. I think that we are under the illusion, and it is an illusion, that the ultimate aim is that you and I get to heaven. And I want to say that is something we have received from demons. That is never once in scripture that the ultimate aim, nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament does it say about us going to heaven. The focus is actually quite opposite. The focus is that we are with Christ. And Christ's comment to the thief on the cross that you'll be with me. And of course, where Christ is paradise. And so that sense of the with me portion being really important. And we are completely, I think, in error in the escapism tendency. I don't really want to go over the rapture, pro, cons, anti, for, because we've done that a little bit. You know where we stand on that we don't think that's a biblical concept. But I can live with you and give you a hug and a kiss.
But
if you believe it, I'm not going to fall out with you over that. But what I am going to fall out with you over is if that has trained you in a mindset of escapism.
Oh yeah, very good.
And the sense of I'm not going to take responsibility and I'm going to silo myself away. Back to our previous podcast of Colossians 4:11, I'm not going to build for the kingdom because I'm just holding on until I get to heaven. And that's so indoctrinates most of Western Christendom, this you know, one day when I get to heaven. Now, yes, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and there is a record. But actually, all of that is a problem. And I want to say some things that are very strong. Again, when you think that it's all about getting to heaven, you rob Pentecost
of its power,
of its power.
And relevance.
And the relevance of most of the New Testament. It's just not required. The catastrophe of the loss of the Spirit, I call it in this, because you're going to go to heaven, so you don't need to think about cross-cultural unity to agree for the kingdom. You don't need to put yourself out there and build for the kingdom. You don't need to hold the demonic to account. You don't need any spiritual warfare. You don't need any great proactivity. You don't need to build any for anything else apart from yourself, because what does it matter? You can be as selfish as you like, because you're going to be taken away one day. And actually all you then need is self-help. And all you then need is a little homily and a feel-good that just kind of keeps you ticking along, because you have lost all responsibility for the planet. You've lost all responsibility to build for the kingdom. You've lost all responsibility of a new earth that is coming, because you just believe in the day that you go to heaven. And that has altered and reframed all of Christianity, and it is demonic heresy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it has washed us all, that teaching. And I'm remembering even as a teenager being at Brethren Bible College kind of school camps during the summer, teaching on all of that. And just it was normal. And I think scripture, it does talk about the sense of where you're going, but it talks about, but run your race, your race. There's meaningful responsibility here. You have authority, you have power. You're meant to be accomplish something for the kingdom while you're here. And I think this escapism has trained us even in a laziness, where we are not as active for the kingdom as we should be. We don't think about our lives in a way that can have an impact for the kingdom and meaningful impact on people around us. And so there is this kind of lazy coasting. I just hunker down. I get through life. I do my best. You know, I pay my tithes. I turn to church. I live holy. Yeah. I have a few people around for dinner. I maybe, attend a conference or do a bit of evangelism. But in the psyche of the church, this understanding of responsibility for the kingdom is totally missing.
Yeah, no,
so
expansion.
There's nothing outward. I mean,
there's nothing outward.
Because it's an advancing kingdom. This is much more about treading water, retreating into somewhere that is safe. I understand this, and I understand what Sam is saying, because I've lived that. Yeah. And the reality, when it comes, the true reality of the expansive nature of the kingdom, and that we're called for such a time as this, and there's a job to be done, as distinct from just sitting in the gospel of salvation, which is, I've come to faith. Now, really, all that there's left to do, like you say, is lead a good life and get as many other people as possible into that same situation. And then it's just, that is the repetition. But the sense of advancement, the sense of territory, the sense of breakout, the sense of adventure, indeed, signs and wonders, healings, any sense of that, it's devoid
it's robbed,
of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very small living. And honestly, you are right. That is taught by demons.
Yes.
Because it is limiting. In fact, the limitation is the demonic attachment to it, because salvation is fantastic. And that obviously is not taught to us by demons. It's the Spirit of God teaches us that bit. But the demonic attachment is the limitation. Yeah. Anywhere where you find a limitation, it is not the Spirit of God.
I think I want to just go into this kind of new heaven, new earth. There's a lot to be said about that, because ultimately the aim of God is his kingdom comes as kingdom reigns.
Yes.
And he is, Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, that Christ reconciles all things to himself and has supremacy over all. The great summation of the ages.
And by his Spirit. King and the kingdom, but by his Spirit.
Yes. And so the whole sense of I am planted and I'm rooted and I take responsibility here and now to build for the kingdom, and the sense that I must burn out of my head, the sense of one day when I leave, when Jesus comes back, that I absolve myself right now and I become insular. So when we're in Revelation 21 particularly, we are talking about, there's several other scriptures. So we're Revelation 21, we're Romans 8, we're Revelation 22, we're Isaiah 65, and you can spend some time in those scriptures. But we're talking about the coming of the new earth, where the holy city descends, the government seat of God descends. I saw the holy city descending, the holy Jerusalem, situated where? On a new earth. The tree of life is inside. Cultures work together. God dwells there with his people. And you get this new Garden of Eden, the paradise of eternal life with God. And John describes all nations working and cultivating the new earth and the trees bearing fruit monthly on the new earth, all of that symbolism of life and wellness on the new earth. And so that makes us uncomfortable, but I really wanted to go to heaven, but I really wanted, what you really wanted was escapism.
Yeah.
What you really wanted was escapism. And that doctrine took you there. And so you're needing to reframe things like the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right right here. Or I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Kingdom of God within.
Kingdom of God within. Yeah. This is it. Or the seated with Christ in heavenly places is a status and a location in the spirit right here, right now.
Yes.
It's not somewhere
otherworldly.
It's here. It's here.
Come on.
It's an authority status.
See, that's liberating.
That is liberating.
And we need to hear this.
But people are sad by this. People are sad because they're now smacking their traditions in the face, where they thought, I'm going to go and I'm going to float on a cloud somewhere. No, you actually are going to have a job in the new earth, on the new earth. And of course, let's go through some of these things. All things are made new. Death is replaced by life. Romans 8:22, the children of God are revealed. Yeah. Romans 21, verse 5, sin is eradicated. They're all new earth concepts. Revelation 22, verse 3, there's no more curse. We're living on a new earth. It's this one made new with no more cursing. Isaiah 65, verse 17, the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Sorrow and tragedy are gone. And this sense of like, there's actually seven no mores. No more sea, which is about no more chaos. It's not an actual water comment. Mm-hmm. It's a chaos comment. No more death, no more mourning, no more weeping, no more pain, no more cursing, no more night. And 2 Peter 3 verse 13 is the new earth is where righteousness dwells. So we're layering all of these scriptures of our vocation and our position in Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, which is the spirit realm here on the earth where the new Jerusalem has descended in its cuboid shape. So all of this is like, well, you got to start building for this now.
I think, why are people sad? You mentioned that there. Why are people sad by this revelation, by this truth? I think that we are chronically allergic to responsibility. And the concept that actually I have responsibility, because this whole thing of ridding ourselves of escapism means that actually you need to take responsibility for some things for the kingdom. You have roles, you have a responsibility. And in the new heaven and the new earth, you will have roles, you will have responsibilities. It's part of your role within the kingdom. And you're a royal priesthood. That is who we are. And that carries with it things you are to accomplish. Things you are to do. And I do think it comes against even just the zeitgeist of, I just want to coast. I just want an easy life. You know, I want it to be comfortable. But actually, in this, these concepts talk about you have meaningful responsibility, not just in the future, but for the kingdom right now.
There's another part to that, Sam, as well. I think that we are chronically allergic, I think that's the expression used, to responsibility. But I see that that we're chronically devoid of the power and the presence of the Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
Because if when the power of the Spirit is awakened in our lives, mm-hmm. we have clarity of call.
Yes.
We suddenly are useful and fear is bound and is dismissed. I think this part of the chronic lack of responsibility is people don't know
the
what
power,
to do. They're left in this situation, and they may be gloriously in the Word, but devoid of the Spirit, which actually gives the power, the impetus, the momentum to actually get on and build for the kingdom, be ready, new earth, new heaven, etc., etc. And I see that as a real problem. And then I look and I think, where are my examples of leadership that pushed in, that understood what was required, and set an example of that? So that's another thing that we've got to look at, as being leaders in the earth and in our realms, to be sure that momentum of taking responsibility now and coming into the fullness of what we're called to, that we absolutely take it on.
I think I would want to, and you see, now we get into what, if we're not already in controversial waters, we're certainly about to be, friends.
Okay.
But yeah, hold your table. In that, the joy of the new earth and the new heavens and the descending of the holy city to the earth is that there is no temple. Very scripturally clear. There is no temple in the holy city. There is no temple on the new earth. And the glory of that is the uncontained, limitless pervasion of God, who permeates everything. There's no more night. He is the light, and he is not contained. And humanity rules with God, in God's image, and all of creation becomes the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
This really matters.
It does really matter. Come
on. And your body will be like Jesus' body was in the resurrection, able to eat and drink, but having this other dynamic where he could walk through walls. So this new creation in a new earth in the image of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ is fascinating. I just want to put my head in my hands and do a loud sigh over any thought of the resurrection of the temple when Scripture clearly tells us that Jesus fulfilled the law, that obligation of the law has been dealt with, and that actually we are now in this new covenant place where we are the dwelling place of God.
Come on.
Indeed.
And the whole conversation about red heifers and reenacting sacrifices. And I just think, why?
Yeah, why?
Why do you want the shadow? Why do you want the shadow when you have the real
reality.
Thing
Come
in
on.
Jesus Christ? Why do you want that? What are you doing in all of that? Have you not read the new covenant? Have you not read the reality of an indwelling spirit?
Have you
not read about the new heavens and the new earth and the no need for a temple and the joy of moving in the power of God right here, right now? Have you not read, you know, of the limitless nature of the presence of God that's going, where he's the light of everything.
Absolutely.
He's not contained in a building. And the whole sense of what are you doing and what are you communicating in the trying to reenact an animal sacrifice or try and the offensiveness to Jesus.
God, yes.
Oh my goodness.
The offensiveness to the shed. And now I'm exercised here. The offensiveness to
You're
the
right.
shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
That you think you can do better than the cross by bringing another animal. That you can replace Jesus with a cow. That you think that's acceptable to do that in this day and age and spend thousands of pounds to bring something of an old, done-with covenant that slaps Jesus across the face and starts to say, your blood's not enough, I've got to kill a cow.
Yeah.
I mean, really, guys? Sorry, that was
no, that was good.
That was
and you
brilliant.
Know, there's some of our listeners who actually need to hear this and hear the offence of heaven at that kind of idolatry, which ultimately it is idolatry.
Yes.
Jesus is enough. And honestly, and when you're talking there about the glory of God within,
yeah.
just what is available to us. I mean, mm-hmm. even just putting that out into the atmosphere, even yes. at the table here.
You can feel
your spirit just going, and amen, and increase, and advance.
Yes.
And because it's an ever-expanding kingdom, and His glory is coming and coming and coming, more and more, utter, total manifestation of His purpose, His power, and His beauty.
Yes.
And that's available to us. Why on earth would you want to sacrifice a cow?
It makes no sense. And the sense of the cross, the blood shed, the law answered, the obligations of the law abolished.
Oh, come on.
The separation between God and man is completely dealt with. The Jew and Gentile are united. The sin of men is actioned. There's no more alienation. The keys of death and the grave are, you know, received.
Jesus
has them. And Satan loses.
Come on.
And Satan loses how he works through mankind by taking their authority. And you want to go back?
Yes. And
why would you want to?
Why would you want
yeah.
to? Why would you want to? Well, unless you are being taught by demons.
Oh. You
maybe
said it, Louise.
I'm just suggesting, because just thinking, this is the beauty of the advancing kingdom of God. It's not just about what's coming,
yeah.
but it's about the extermination and eradication, so that we get to this place of the seven that you quoted: no death, no chaos,
yes.
no mourning, no
yes.
pain, no night. This is glorious. That's the momentum of the kingdom.
The infinite scope of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
Where he brings the unity to the universe under his kingship and under his lordship and under his rulership. And I am so fascinated by Ephesians 1 verse 10 and Colossians 1, these massively significant scriptures for understanding the end, where all things hold together in him.
Yeah.
And all things are under the authority
of Christ.
And
heaven and earth under Christ.
And he reconciles all things to himself.
Oh, wow.
In the dominance of his kingdom that comes, and he has supremacy over all. And I'm not.
And he holds all things together by his powerful word.
Yes.
I mean, what an epicenter.
It's incredible.
Power.
It's the coming king. I mean, we're palpably excited about this.
Yes.
I hope you can feel that down the podcasting airways. This sense of this ultimate aim of Christ to be the king of the kingdom that dominates, and the powers of everything else dissipate and are removed because of his supremacy. And this sense of playing around in the shallow waters of the old covenant and finding that acceptable.
And it's offensive to Jesus.
You better believe it.
It's offensive to fullness. It's offensive to
his
redemptive
yes.
plan.
But the feeling, the difference mm-hmm. in atmosphere between
already.
Even when we talk about that stuff, it's so limiting, and it actually hurts my spirit.
Yeah.
It does.
But when we start talking about the liberation, when we start talking about the humiliation of the enemy and the glory of God coming continually. I'm suddenly getting alive. I'm thinking, I've got a purpose. I've got a filling. I've got something to do today. And it's not just good, feel good energy.
No.
That's raw Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And the joy for me of the new earth is this, that we are going to see everything broken here transformed. We are going to be seeing everything on the earth made new. We are going to see the full resurrection power of Christ on this earth.
Yeah.
And this earth will be called the new earth, and the holy city will come, and we will work as co-workers on the new earth with jobs. And all of this sense of the Eden.
Don't like that word, jobs.
Jobs.
Roles.
Roles.
Callings, purpose.
There is. We will have jobs. We do have jobs on the new earth. It's not about.
There's things to do.
There is things to do.
We're not swinging on a star.
No, and we are not lying on a deck chair.
Oh.
You know, sorry.
With our toes out.
No, there will be rest, but the bearing of the fruit of the new earth is going to be incredible.
It's going to be such incredible. When we think about entrepreneurship, we have seen nothing. the level of what we're going to see happen and be responsible for. And we're going to enjoy the fruit of, it's going to be a different sort of, it's, labor isn't right word, because it'll be such a joy.
It's
the joy of creativity, isn't it? It's the joy of being a co-worker in the new earth with a creative God who cannot stop the trees from producing fruit every single month. Well, what do creators do with that? You know, this whole Garden of Eden concept of encounter, of proximity, of relationship, of creativity, of entrepreneurial
expansion,
of
and
life,
everything.
Of
and
joy.
And there'll always be excellence.
Yeah.
And it's here, you know, it's the new heaven and the new earth. Now, we will have to talk about what is in the new heaven now that we're talking about what is in the new earth. But that's for another. That's, don't worry. We don't.
We'll
we're not
that.
Missing that portion. We'll come to that portion another day. But right now, it's the sense of, OK, God, what I do here, which is now we're in scriptures of, and everything will be shaken, and what is of the kingdom will remain. Now we might have a greater understanding of those kind of scriptural concepts. He shakes everything so that what can't be shaken remains. And what can't be shaken is the substance of his kingdom. And we are back round to Colossians 4:11 of building for the kingdom. So what will remain? The values of the kingdom, the healings, the miracles, the freedom, the deliverances, the creative things that came from him, the righteousness that came through some of our business deals, the standard of his values, that remains. And so you can suddenly see the irritation of the siloing away, the irritation of the, I'm building for myself that heaven has with you, that God has with you, the irritation of protect and defend my small-mindedness, the irritation of not sharing what you have with the poor, the irritation of not giving the gospel back to where we've been for the last few sessions of Isaiah 52, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who proclaim good news. You know, and the beauty of the good news, and it should just ooze out of, it's like, so I was in the States, and I'm not often out and about in the shops because most of it happens online. And I bumble into one of my favorite shops, and I'm in the fitting rooms. And sorry, Sam, I don't know how boys are like in fitting rooms. I don't need to know what boys are like in fitting rooms. But I'm in the fitting room trying on something. And as women do, the woman from the next fitting room comes out. What do you think of this? I can't see the back of it. How's the shape of this on me? So good. We're talking about her ankles, talking about her shape. We're doing what girls do in changing rooms in shops. And Do the boys do that with each other? Do you ever ask the boy in the next cubicle, how do I look in this?
No.
Look at your face.
No,
girls
they
do
don't.
That all the time.
Yeah, they
all
do.
All the time.
Or could you ever just help me with that zip?
Yep. It's very standard for girls to talk to each other.
You try it on as quickly as possible and then purchase.
Right. Okay.
Or not.
Not in my world.
No.
So I'm whittering away to this woman about, you know, the color, the shape, the try this on. She's helping me out. I'm helping her out. My friend is there. The staff are there. We're having a good old girly gas together. Well, I come to the checkout, the till area, and I go, oh my goodness, you've got pain in your back, to this woman. And it's out of me. This expression of the kingdom of God is out of me. And I realize I am so dominantly physically in her space. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like literally nearly like running into you. And she says, no, you're a healer, aren't you? Yes, in the name of Jesus I am. So I'm grabbing her hand. I just need to hold you, I say. And she literally, in the permission to be held, is physically pushing herself into my body. I've grabbed her hand. I'm totally embracing her. Uh-huh. The queue is watching. My friend is watching. The staff are watching. In the name of Jesus. You know, and she's saying, well, what about Mary? And then I think, oh, okay, we've got some false gods here. You know, and so in the name of Jesus, right? No, we're going to the higher power, the higher power. Jesus. And it's really done at speed. And I suddenly think, this is quite extrovert. And this is quite
just a little.
Just that, you think.
This is quite dominant. So then I find myself clicking my fingers. I'm going to bring a hedge of protection around you in the name of Jesus so that you can only source the Spirit of God. So I'm marching around her, clicking my fingers, clapping my hands. She is loving it. I have needed this. I knew I needed to meet you. The staff are appalled. I am past caring. And suddenly she's completely healed on the spot. And the jaws are on the floor. This is what Jesus does. This is what the source of all power does. He just wanted to get you healed. So, and you know, all of this, and it's so like, and I'm like, why would I want to live for anything else? Why would I care about, you know, what anybody else thought if I could build for the kingdom of God, if I could speak the name of Jesus in that place, if I could progress the advancement of the kingdom of God by saying this is who he is and this is what he does. And I know I'm only shopping for another denim jacket because like I need another denim jacket. I don't. But the whole sense of like, I'm a conduit for King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He lives inside of me.
Yeah.
And I'm building for the kingdom every single place I go.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's brilliant. And Emma, you know, in your wonderful extroverted way, and I have been in shops with you and I have experienced some of that. And it is glorious. But just to encourage everybody who's listening, if you're not a rampant extrovert, you can quietly approach somebody. And you
can
be and you can be extremely effective. Because for some people that would be quite full. Oh, I could never do that. Yes, you can, but you'll do it in your way according to the spirit within you. What I love about your story is it's not just the person who received the healing that was affected, but the entire atmosphere and the shop assistants, whether they liked it or not, the whole environment. That was a spectacle.
It was a spectacle of the kingdom. Absolutely was a spectacle of the kingdom. And there was a shop assistant there who was actually had escaped from Palestine and had come, I was in America, come to America. And she had already told me, because she was the first conversation. This was not the first conversation I'd had like this in the shop. I was in a bit of a Holy Spirit whirlwind. So she was a Muslim from Palestine and I'd already prayed for her and grabbed her. I said, oh my goodness, I've just invaded your personal space. And she's like, you know, so, but then I'd gone to Sephora next door.
Is that a shop?
What?
Is that a shop? Is that the shop?
It's the makeup shop. Anyway, and I mean, the spirits in there are not great. There's a lot of cosmetic nonsense and camouflage and hiding. And I do love my makeup. I'm not unaware of some of the perversities of it. So it's always an interesting dynamic in there. But I am literally 3 minutes in that door and I'm looking for a particular mascara. And within 3 minutes, my wee friend who's with me is rolling her eyes at me. I have grabbed this woman's hands, shop assistant's hands, and they're very alternative in there. Oh my goodness, you believe you're such a disappointment. I need to tell you what Jesus says. But she is not pulling back and she's crying and she says, I've needed to know this. And there are people everywhere. Jesus says.
Yeah.
This is why it's called good news.
It is. And so I've literally grabbed her hands and she's grabbing my hands back. She's wailing. I'm trying to find a tissue from the end of one of the aisles that there are in Sephora. And I know her life's changed forever and all of the weird and wonderful are stunning watching me and I don't care because I'm going to build for the kingdom.
Yes.
And this is the thing. See, when you let the lightning bolt of heaven just annihilate your escapism and you stop thinking like that, all nervousness and apprehension about demonstrating the kingdom and building for the kingdom and the message of the kingdom goes. It becomes, it's not even something you choose to do. It's like you're compelled. It's like an impulse. I can't help but overflow and to have a dialogue and open up a conversation. Mm-hmm. And you do just start looking for opportunities. When you come to this realization that the kingdom of heaven is within, there are heavenly places inside. The kingdom is at hand. There is a new heaven and a new earth, but it's coming, it's descending. And there is meaningful kingdom responsibility that we have on the earth. It is not just a choice, it's an overflow, and you can't help but build for the kingdom in all of life.
I mean, this episode's a wee bit longer, but I think the testimonies are great. Tell us about, you were literally in Glasgow Airport
Heathrow, yeah.
Heathrow.
The second leg of my flight. This is literally, we're filming this on a Wednesday, and this was last Thursday. Mm. And I had found myself in the lounge, a little booth. I thought I needed to prep a bit, so I thought I'll get a private space. I had a voice note I had to send to a friend who was just struggling with a deliverance issue. So I'm going, I'm saying on the voice note, you know, you bind this demon and you bind that demon. Put the phone down, think, oh, I'm going to record. And this woman, as Glasgow as you can possibly be, comes over the top of the booth, peeks over and said, did I hear you speak about demons? And I was like, hello, yes. Do you happen to know a thing or two about ghosts? Well, actually, I do. Uh-huh. And she was in this, she was commuting to see family. She said, I have had problems with ghosts in my house. And I thought, tell me about that. And she started to tell the story. She'd invited a priest to come and pray, and it had got much worse, terribly worse. And so I'm saying to her, well, you know, what happened? And she was talking about all the objects and all the different things that were going on. I said, you need none of that. You need the name of Jesus. It's the highest name. And if you speak the name of Jesus, my promise is this, you will see those ghosts flee, those poltergeists. There will be liberation in your home, that there will be. And I started to prophesy over her about just some generational things that she had inherited from her father's line. Mm-hmm. And she's going, how did you know that? And she's Glasgow, so she's in the moment. There's just some language choices, and she is very honest. And there is a little bit of an audience, and she's like, so all I need to do is use the name Jesus. Aye. For yes, Scottish for yes, aye. I'm like, yes, that's all you need to use. And she's thinking, can I have your number? Can I have your email address? Where do you live? Oh. Where's your address? And so I'm literally running then to get on the plane. Uh-huh. She'd obviously heard where I was flying to. I'm in the queue getting ready to board, and she's running, shouting you, because I hadn't told her my name at this point.
You.
I had forgotten to say it. You. And she hands me a bag full of gifts.
Oh, Sam.
And now it's funny because she'd asked me what I'd done and asked about my schedule. And she was thinking, oh, that's quite a lot. So all the gifts were sleep products. So she obviously thought I was tired. Sleep body wash, sleep pillow spray, sleep everything. Bella's loving it from Heathrow duty free. And she's going, I'm going to do what you do, what you've told me to do. And she's followed me on Instagram, and she's messaged saying it worked.
Wow.
It has worked for the kingdom.
For
and look,
the kingdom.
It's just a shadow. And that wasn't even an initiation of a conversation. That she initiated it in her Glasgow way. But these stories happen when you're so understanding of for the kingdom all of the time that you are compelled. And can I say, it is the most fun building for the kingdom.
I love the spontaneity
Absolutely.
Of it, because you don't, your life prepares for that.
Yes.
But it's not like I'm set out today to X, Y, and Z, and I've got my thoughts in my head of what I'm going to say. It's spontaneous.
Yeah.
It's living life. It's liberating.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I had an instance a couple of weeks ago, where I walked into a situation. This was back in Ireland, and there was a nurse there who I have met a couple of times before, but I just was going in to visit somebody. And they came out from behind where they are, and they looked at me and they said, there's something about you. What is it about you?
Yeah.
And they were intrigued, but they were almost irritated.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't put words. And I said, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I started talking just a little bit about that, and then started to prophesy over her. But the interesting thing was, I prophesied about change in her life. When I came back the next week, she told me then that she'd had the confidence to hand her notice in.
Wonderful.
And was moving on to a new job and a new situation.
Come on.
And can I just say, you guys particularly are very extroverted, and I just I just want to say to those who are listening, well, I'm trying to just temper things to
I'm
say.
I'm sure it wasn't tempered, but
well, you know,
it
wasn't.
Reads.
It wasn't actually, but I just will say, everybody. everybody can be used every day. Just take the opportunities because people are hungry and we have got good news
and we have
authority in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To bring shift and change in people's lives for the kingdom.
And to be perfectly fair, you know, we're just talking about individual lives here. I think there are levels and levels of what it means to build for the kingdom. So those who are listening to this who need to build for the kingdom, great creative international solutions.
Come on.
Great understandings of righteousness in business. Great stories to be told. I have this thing rattling around in me. Look, I'm going to say it out loud. You can give me advice live on podcast air. I really feel like I'm going to have to do in my house. Where's David? Is he listening? I don't know where he is, but the glass behind the glass, a reality TV show, a Christian reality TV show I don't know what to call it. Start Graving Mad. Look, no, I don't know.
No,
we can't call it that.
No.
Can't call it Big Brother either.
Spirit with the Starks.
Spirit, that's better. That's
Spirit-filled Starks. That's good. The Spirit-filled Starks.
Anyway, David will have a marketing type title. Because I do think people just want to see
the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
In life.
In life.
Absolutely.
What it looks like.
And look, we stumble and we fall and we get things wrong and we're not perfect. And
sometimes we've not slept enough or eaten enough.
But it's the sense of like,
yeah,
what does it look to not clean it up and this is what conversations are genuinely like at the kitchen table. This is what, you know, can you take a camera around as I go shopping? Is that appropriate? I don't even know whether that's appropriate. But the sense of, you know,
you might have to edit a few bits out. I'm sure it'd be fine.
But
people be, what is Emma shopping? Grocery shopping. I'd be interested in that.
I've had some fascinating conversations in grocery shops. Yeah. Uh-huh. But one of the more interesting ones, about 10 days ago on the way out to DC, Washington, DC, I actually was at the airport early. I don't know what had happened to me.
I know.
So I'm sauntering through duty free and this staff member, Emma, she's shouting at me. And then she says, I'm so-and-so, gives me her name. And I'm doing that clocking of, I know I've spoken to you before.
Who are you?
How have we had interactions? And then I'd remembered that some months ago, I'd had back-to-back flights. And I'd spoken to her about two or three trips in a row. And she said, I did the homework you sent me. I'm like, okay, what was that? And she said to me, you told me that I was only to connect with holy, pure spirits. I was channeling lots of spirits. Do you remember? And I was clicking and going, yes. She said, so I've told all the bad spirits. I told I only want the holy, pure ones. You told me to say the holy spirits, the Holy Spirit and his workers. So she says, so my room feels better. I'm sleeping better. She said, but I don't know what to do next.
What's next? Wow.
So I said, well, now we connect you with Jesus. She said, I knew you would know, she said.
I knew you would know what to do next.
So then we move on to the Jesus, because she's proved that she doesn't now want the spirit she was invoking in her house. She's proved that, you know, that she only wants the holy ones. She understands this difference. So then we have the Jesus conversation, and I'm standing in the middle of the duty free telling her colleagues are round about her and they're like, this is the next step of your spiritual journey. Right, she says, I'm doing this homework where I'm just going to start to talk to Jesus. Where do I need to, you need to invite him to come into your bedroom. I can do that. Jesus Christ, right. You know, I'll do so. And when are you coming back? Well, I'm so there. And all of this discipling people who, well, she was the Joe Malone worker at Glasgow Airport.
Joe Malone, I do know that name. I might know your Sephora.
Have you never heard of Sephora?
No, I don't care, but Joe Malone I do care about.
Okay. Building for the kingdom.
Joe Malone,
one, Sephora,
Joe Malone at a time.
Airports and nations.
Yes, yeah. There we go. But I bless you, listeners,
yeah,
in this longer than normal episode, as you hear all our
stories and thoughts
and wittering. I bless you. I bless you to build for the kingdom.
Come on.
I bless you into this wild adventure, yes, of changing things every day you live, of little by little dealing with the corruptions in the world around you and driving them out. I bless you into showing stamina and remaining in place and remaining where you are with a sense of rootedness and belonging and not wanting to escape somewhere else. I bless you to learn how to not be spat out. And I bless you to be one who goes so deep in the things of the Spirit that you become your own sign and wonder for the kingdom of God. Thank you very much for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say.
If you've enjoyed this podcast conversation, then you will love our new Power TV app platform. Packed full of exclusive content and it's ad-free, you'll get to watch all the videos of What the Prophets Say. Visit powertv.app to join today.